Bonk.
Dan.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, this is an audio podcast. Audio. What am I trying? What's the word? It's escaping me. It's an audio product. It's an audio. What am I? There was a word. There's a good word for it. I'm just going to abandon my entire joke here. It was a dumb joke to begin with. And now I can't even think of the word.
Audio platform?
Yeah, audio product, podcast, or an audio medium. Maybe that's what I was looking for. Yeah, I was going to say, so you can't tell at home that across from me, Bonk is actually hanging onto a tree with her legs up in the air because we're here in a hurricane right now.
Well, I think they would be able to hear the hurricane action happening.
Good mics, you know, the windscreen. That's why we put the windscreen on.
It's for hurricanes.
Well, I mean, hurricanes are like largely wind, right? Isn't that a big part of the hurricane?
I think there's a lot of wind going on for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So windscreen would make it a better podcast product. So
I still think you would hear it if I was hanging from a branch and because the wind was that strong, you would hear it. It would go.
Yeah, and there'd be a lot of debris and stuff going on. And actual like, raindrops going into the Zoom and
you wouldn't just be casually recording if I was hanging on for dear life. At least I hope you
would.
That's
true. You know, there may be a lot of problems with the delivery and idea of the joke itself here. It might need a little more time in the oven here. We'll come back next week.
People listening probably don't know that we were expecting a really big hurricane in the Northeast.
Yes. Henry.
Yes, and where we are, we were kind of in the projected trajectory, at least.
There was a period where we thought that it was going to be like, we were going to be right there upon it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing is, like, being where we are, like, which is not quite in the sticks, but we're not in, like, a city or, like, suburbia.
We're somewhere in between.
Yeah, so we like, have a septic tank and like, well water and everything, so there's always a fear that the power is going to go out because there's so many trees around here. And then if the power goes out, you know, we'd be screwed because we have a septic tank. We have an electric oven. Like we wouldn't be able to do a lot here. So that's the biggest concern. Like a lot of, like our house, for example, is, what is it called? Generator ready.
Yeah. I still don't understand that.
I don't completely understand it, but my assumption was like, oh, okay, well, blackouts must be a pretty common occurrence if they're spring to outfit their house with what's necessary to have a generator at any given time.
Yeah.
But that was the concern, but it didn't play out that way.
We brought in everything from the deck, brought down like the hammocks and the bird feeders and all that stuff, anticipating the worst, wondering if trees were going to fall on our house or windows were going to shatter. And it's just been kind of rainy.
Yeah, just rain.
It's fine. It's actually it's nice rain going on.
It's nice. I'm not a fan, you know. I like the rain when I want to, you know, when it's like later in the day when I'm not going outside, but I spend a lot of time outside and the rain can suck it.
My goodness. Family podcast
me, Rain?
Here. It's not true. I mark it as explicit every week, whether or not we cussed. So,
and for that express purpose, there's a lot of rain hate going on.
Yes, yes. Rain cursing. Yes. Yeah, so that's it. So we survived. We're here. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it was fine. We like froze a bunch of our water bottles, and now it's the long process of waiting for those to defrost in the fridge, I guess. But that's literally the only like downside of the whole storm situation is I just have to wait for our water bottles to defrost.
Yeah, we're just hanging out playing video games. I could tell what you were playing. I will not go into any spoilers here at all in case anyone's playing it, but I could tell what game you were playing because every 12 minutes or so I've heard the dogs going completely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been playing 12 minutes, which for those that don't know involves a guy knocking on your door and ringing your doorbell every 12 minutes.
Yeah, they should have probably put a toggle to, you know, either replace that sound or make it go away for people with dogs because it's literally every 12 minutes the dogs are going crazy.
So Dave Lang had the same problem. Yeah, I wonder if, like, that could be a pretty easy fix, I would think, where it's like, just replace it with like a clown horn or a bicycle thing or something, right? Because, like, I don't think the dogs would freak out of that. They don't recognize it. This is just straight up, like, doorbell.wave, you know?
It wouldn't be really appropriate for the mood of that game if it was just like a clown horn.
La cucaracha.
Ooga!
Get on the ground!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just started that. I finished, well, I didn't really finish the director mode, but I finished the campaign of Curious Expedition 2, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah, you've been playing that nonstop.
Yeah, anyone who's listening who hasn't played this game should play it. It just came out on the Switch. It actually came out last year and no one talked about it, but it's really freaking awesome. And, you know, if you listen to Firescape as well, you've heard Mike talk about Wildermyth. That sounds kind of like that in terms of like having a procedurally generated story between your party mates and everything. And, you know, it's like a tactics game that you have like a currency of sanity as your currency and you use that for traveling around. And, you know, instead of beating enemies in its turn-based combat, which is actually really cool because it uses this like dice system. So it's very like pen and paper. But every side of the die is a different attack. And you can like, it does this really cool thing where if you have an attack you want to use, like the attacks have different colors, different die colors. And if you have a bunch of green die and you want to use this green attack, you can use the other die to boost up the power of that attack and it'll like exponentially increase its power versus like instead of doing three different attacks, you could just do one super strong attack kind of thing. It's really fun. And, but yeah, travel is the whole thing. Adventuring is the whole crux of the game. It's not about, killing enemies. There's actually a incentive to avoid killing anything. But it's just an absolutely fantastic game and I strongly recommend it.
It seems great for Switch too, which I think gives it an edge on Wildermyth, which I believe is only on PC right now. So if you want that type of game on the go, and one that's very good apparently.
Yeah. I haven't played Wildermyth, but it sounds like kind of like a light version of that in terms of you know, being more accessible and
Curious Expedition being lighter.
Yeah. More accessible and easier to manage and not as many menus. It's less there's moment to moment decision making, but it's more how you plan it, how you plan your expedition has bigger consequences than necessarily like every step you take, like it sounds like it is in Wildermyth. So if you want to dip your toe into that type of stuff,
sure.
And you have a Switch, it's fantastic for the Switch, and it looks gorgeous too. I love the art style.
Yeah, you've turned the Switch over and shown me a couple times, mm-hmm. and like, yeah, it looks gorgeous.
It's absolutely. $20 on the eShop, so that's get right. It. It's only $20. It's fantastic. I put probably over 30 hours into it. I've been playing it like nonstop past week.
Bet it's way more than that, basically, how much I've seen you playing that.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that's great. I love it when you stumble upon something that, like, you didn't really know about, and then all of a sudden it's, like, all-encompassing, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of how I roll. It's, you know, I feel, like, obligated to try a lot of games because of my job, but it rarely does a game, like, truly grab me like that, and that totally came out of left field because I just, like, was like, oh, I'll just try this because it sounded interesting, and I never heard anyone talk about it,
sure.
And it's fantastic, so.
That's awesome. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm working on Psychonauts and No More Heroes 3, but you'll hear me talk about that at length on Firescape and Twitch and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, I put up some YouTube stuff of Psychonauts. It's uploading right now. Apparently, when you do 4K videos, it takes like 4 times longer, if not more than that.
Wanted to get ahead of the game as soon as the embargo goes up, but then this video
yeah,
is
I was
just
recording
taking
at 8 a.m. this morning, and I was like, okay, can I get this up? Can I get it out? And it's like, here it is. It's like the afternoon, and still not up. But anyway, I'm having fun with it, but I will talk more about that on other platforms. This platform we talk about what we watch here,
and what we watch
was Pig. We watched a movie called Pig. It's just called Pig. It's not a movie called Pig. It's Pig.
Pig.
Yes, P-I-G. It's not all caps. It's not an acronym. It's just the word Pig. And it's starring your favorite and mine, Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I think from the trailer, when I first saw it and I heard the concept of this, I thought this was going to be one of those gimmick Nick Cage movies. Because, like, he does this a lot. Like, part of the thing of Nick Cage that for many years now is that he will seemingly take any script that he's given. Just because I think he just loves acting so much and he just wants every possible experience, mm-hmm. which is kind of one of the endearing things about him, mm-hmm. right? But then, like, you all also know that, like, for every dumbass, like, oh, here he is killing a Chuck E. Cheese band, like, schlocky movie that he comes out with, like, straight to DVD or whatever. He's also got inside him, he's got this, like, you know, Leaving Las Vegas or Mandy or
his
like, really killer acting chops. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like one of the greats, I think. I, you know, he is kind of a meme and everything, but, like, I genuinely consider him, like, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, he can turn it up and just be absolutely off the wall, insane, as everyone knows. But this isn't that. This is, like, legitimately good acting, kind of going back to, like, his, you know, what he did in Leaving Las Vegas, which I haven't seen, but that's the movie that everyone refers to when they talk about, like, oh, he's actually, like, a legitimately good actor.
That's one of those, like, ultimate just, like, oh, you don't feel good after watching that movies.
Certain movies are effective in that way. They just never fail to make you feel like shit.
I've only seen it once. It was a long time ago. I barely remember anything. I just remember the feeling of just, like, ugh, like, that's not a happy movie at all.
Yeah, and this wasn't a happy movie either. Okay, with that said, you know, you have the setup. Nick Cage is in a serious role here. But if you were to see a screenshot, or is that what they call screen caps for movies? Or do they call them screenshots? Or
video games? Probably screenshots.
Images for
movies? We're so used to, some stills. Frames, some stills. Yeah.
You would probably think that it was a kooky Nick Cage movie, because for 90% of the movie, he's covered in filth and blood.
Yeah, and like the elevator pitch for this is like, Nicolas Cage gets his prized pig stolen, now he's going to get it back. And it sounds like it's like some schlocky, like almost like a John Wick setup. It's very John Wick seeming.
Yeah, very John Wick setup. But it is not, it isn't a John Wick movie, because it isn't an action movie. It's not like, where John Wick has this reputation as a, what is it, the Chupacabra, what do they call him? I forgot.
Is that it?
I forgot what they call him. But he has this reputation where you only say his name and everyone's afraid, right?
What? That's going to drive me nuts. It's not the Chupacabra. The Chupacabra is like a little chipmunk thing, right?
I don't know.
What is John Wick's nickname? This is going to drive me nuts. Oh,
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga. Yeah, Chupacabra? Yeah, close.
Close. So Rob, who Nick Cage plays in this movie, has a similar reputation, not that he kills people, but because I guess he's such a good chef. And similar to John Wick, how that has like kind of this kind of more surreal take on reality, where there's this, you know, whole society of assassins and criminals and stuff. This also kind of has that, but it's more for like food service workers. There's this weird twisted society. So like when I was watching the movie, like the beginning part that, you know, just kind of shows him with the pig and finding truffles and stuff, living out in the woods. You don't know what kind of movie you're watching yet or anything like that. You don't know who this guy is or anything. And then once, it's like shortly after that, once the pig is stolen, he begins his investigation and goes to this underworld thing. And since that was the first like kind of step to him trying to recover the pig, I thought this was going to be way more, this whole movie was going to be way more like in that vein of like this kind of surreal, like secret society of chefs and cooks and everything. And it definitely had that underpinning the whole thing, but it wasn't that kind of movie. It wasn't that kind of movie.
No, and that's why that particular scene, this like Fight Club scene of like all these like after they're off the clock waiters and chefs and stuff, all like they're not even fighting. They're just like, oh, let's see if you can get punched in the face for a minute and see what happens. Like they don't elaborate on it. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think it did was it was the first time that like, you know, he goes up and writes his name on the board or plywood or whatever the fuck it is. And everyone like that's where you get a sense of like, oh, he's revered in this world, you know, but like the whole like Fight Club aspect of it was very odd because they just don't go back to it. And I don't think it was necessary. I think it was the most out of place part of this movie.
I don't necessarily think it's terrible when a movie doesn't like feel the need to explain every aspect of something, especially like, you know, something that's kind of weird or mysterious like that. Like, just let it be. And, you know, there's no reason to over-explain anything. I thought it was important because first it showed that he is like, whoever this Rob Feld guy is, he's revered by these people. And his name carries a lot of weight with it. And also that he's really tough and he's willing to do anything to get his pig back.
He loves
pig back because he was getting repeatedly punched in the head really hard for longer than what was supposed to be the allotted time because the Edgar guy is, I guess, a big asshole. That's the turning point when you realize, like, okay, this isn't just some weird guy living in the woods. Like, he's actually, he left society of his own volition and, you know, no one really knows what happened to him. No one can recognize him, but everyone remembers his name.
It's been like 15 years since he like left the industry and stuff. And we learn he had a wife and she died and he kind of left, you know, chef world.
Yeah.
The culinary world is probably a better way to put it, like 15 years ago. And I really do like how hard they sell it throughout the movie of the reverence, because like absolutely no one in this movie is like, whatever, that has been. Like everyone's like, oh my, wait, you're Robin Feld. Right. Like everyone from like super fancy, you know, restaurant chefs and stuff like that to super rich guys and things. They're all just like, oh my God, it's him. Like no one's seen or heard of him forever. It seems like the only people that know him are like, there's this roadside diner that he goes to out in the woods. And it makes sense though. Like once you find out he's a chef, I think for the first like 20, 25 minutes, you don't know, but like you think back to what he was doing in the woods and he's got a truffle pig and he's got
mushroom
these like
tart.
Exactly. Like he's doing something very meticulous with like ingredients and things like that. So I thought that was cool because I do think I also thought it was going to be a revenge tale. And especially once they went down to the Fight Club thing, I thought it was going to be some thing where it's like, oh, he's like old man tough and he's going to kick everyone's ass, getting this pig back, and he's going to hold someone's head to a burner and demand to know where the pig is. And it's just like not that at all. There's no like real fights in the movie. No one dies in the entire movie, I don't think.
Yeah, well, we don't see the death.
Yeah.
The like one beacon of society he had remaining when he was like living out in the woods was he would sell his truffles to this kid, Amir, who's played by Alex Wolff, who is in Hereditary.
Yeah, he was the kid in that, right?
Yeah.
I looked him up. Do you know his family is actually like incredibly like generations and generations of like venture capitalists and wealth and like bankers in the 1800s and stuff? Like he is like insanely family rich.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for his family, I guess.
That's what he's playing here, is he's playing like the son of a rich
guy. Yeah. And yeah, so you could tell he's like trying to be someone he's not. He's like, oh, trying to tell Rob like how important he is, and because I guess he's part of this kind of criminal underworld where he's a supplier of like exotic goods, I guess, to restaurants and stuff like that. And he seems very insecure. Like he listens to classical music. It seems to be like a podcast explaining classical music.
Yeah.
And later when we meet his dad and his dad's listening to classical music, you could tell he's just like trying to impress his father, be like his father, but he doesn't quite get like, you know, he's not naturally classy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some obvious daddy issues here. Like we see him giving himself like a pep talk in the mirror, like of like, oh, you don't want to go to my dad for that. Like I got the real shit. Don't go to him. Like there's clearly some major like I'm trying to impress him and get his approval, but also I hate him. And like, you know, it's very, very clear issues there.
Yeah, for sure. We don't find out till like later in the movie, but his dad is like one of the head honchos of like the seedy criminal underworld. His dad is. I think Darius is his name.
Yes, played by Adam Arkin.
Yeah, so we're going on this journey with Rob, trying to figure out what the fuck happened to the pig. Edgar tells him that these like tweakers had it when he goes to visit these two people living in a trailer park who seem to be like meth addicts or something like that, and they they don't know where the pig is. So that leads us to like the ultimate resolution is once Amir tells Rob about how his family was really sad, or his mom's really sad, and his parents would always fight, and there was this one time where they didn't fight when they had this meal, and it was a meal that Rob had cooked when he used to have a restaurant, and it was like the one time he ever saw his mom happy and stuff.
Yeah, they came home and they were smiling.
Yeah, so that's banked. And then later we return to it as like the ultimate solution. Instead of like a big blowout confrontation with guns, like in John Wick, Rob just makes Darius a delicious meal that I guess was the same meal he probably served to them back in the day.
And he says he remembers every single, meal he ever served, and like, down to like, this is the wine I serve. And like that care over what he does and his craft and everything, like that's evident throughout. Like for me, the best scene in the movie was when before this at the end, he goes to one of these fancy restaurants as he's looking for
the pig. Right, yeah.
And there's this waiter there, and it's like this very, very trendy, like, oh, we're going to put this upside down glass foam here, and then this and foam and smoke and all this. It's very unnecessarily gimmicky, it seems.
Yes.
And Cage is sitting there like super just filthy, covered in blood, and just, he's disgusting. Like he needs to take a shower this entire
movie. He doesn't stop to just even wash up, like
change your clothes,
water in from a sink, just, you know, take the blood off your face.
Do a 30-second like quick like, you know, him putting on new clothes and stuff, and like putting some band-aids. I think he has like one band-aid or something like that. But he pulls the chef over and he's like, hey, wait, I trained you. And the chef, you know, at first is just kind of like blowing him off. Then he's like, oh, wait, you're Rob Feld. Mm-hmm. And Feld is like, yeah, I trained you. What happened to the pub? You were going to start an Irish pub. And the guy's like, oh, no, I think this would probably do better, you know, in Portland. I think it's all set in Portland. And it's just this really intense scene of like, both actors do amazing. Mm-hmm. Here, Cage, where he's just like trying to like be like, this isn't you. Why are you doing this? And then the chef trying to be like kind of desperate and just like, oh God, he's right. This wasn't my dream at all. And there's one line that I love that Cage said. He says, we don't get a lot of things to really care about.
Yeah.
And I love that line. I just like throughout your life, you know, there's just a handful of things that like you really, really love and care mm-hmm. about, and you have to really cherish those things, which is, that is a theme throughout this movie. You know, Cage had a couple things. He had the, you know, pig, his wife, you know, his arts and everything. And I thought that was so effective. And just seeing the chef just like kind of realize like, oh, what have I done with my life? And he has to like chug the wine and right. stuff. Like that's the best scene in the movie for me.
Yeah. He just completely like disembowels this chef verbally and makes him realize like his whole world kind of, you could see his soul leaving his face like as he's receiving this from Cage. It was very effective.
And Cage is just so good there. Like that was the scene too where it's like, God damn it. He is so fucking good at this.
Mm-hmm. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, he seems like every role he takes, I remember him doing an interview about Ghost Rider, and he said, it was just a dumbass, you know, comic book movie, you know, and he talked about, like, you know, the whole time he filmed it, he had his jacket, like, the liner, he sewed in these, like, ancient voodoo beans or something to, like, imbue him with the spirit of the dead, and just like, my God, he takes everything so yep. fucking serious, and, like, that's why it's so good.
Uh-huh. And he always gives it 100%.
In a way that I, you know, there are a ton of great, great actors out there, obviously. But, like, I just feel like, as a movie fan, mm-hmm. I can't think of another actor that so obviously loves acting as much as Cage.
Yeah, yeah, that seems abundantly clear. Because I know he's had tax issues, right? But this can all be, like, all a money-making scheme to just...
Oh, no, I think the amount of money he's made, the yeah. amount of movies he's made,
yeah.
and, like, leading man money and stuff, like, I know he's... buying pyramids and T-Rex skeletons and just being a fucking weirdo with his money.
But of course you would if you had that much money, right?
Of course. And of course, if you were Nicolas Cage, the weirdest dude, like, of uh-huh. course he's doing weird shit with his money all the time. So, like, he's gotten in trouble and stuff, but I don't think he's, like, broke. I mean, I'm not his accountant. I don't know. But, like, he's made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he's doing great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is a really exceptional showcase of his talent.
Yeah.
And his range.
Another good speech when he's talking about the earthquake, where he's like, oh, well, even if you know, nothing matters, there's going to be this giant, you know, uh-huh. earth, the big one's going to come here, and, like, even if you escape the earthquake, there's going to be a 10-foot wave coming and taking all this away.
Yeah, that was a great, great speech. I think he was talking to Amir when he said that, and it just kind of gave you an insight into his perspective. Like, obviously, you figure it out as you're watching the movie, but it seems like the catalyst for his moving out into the forest and just living with this pig was the death of his wife. I guess it was just really hard for him to cope, so he went out. But you get a sense that him living in isolation and dealing with his grief and everything, he just kind of have this really, like, nihilistic perspective on life, and just, like, the only thing there is the material, like, what you can see, and there's it's all fleeting and it's all gonna end, so nothing matters. It's just that, like, whole idea that nothing really matters ultimately. And then, like, at the end of the movie, when, you know, so the pig, he finds out the pig dies, but
which surprised me.
Yeah it surprised me as well, but, you know, I'm just glad that we didn't see it, you know.
Oh,
if the pig was gonna die, I'm just glad we didn't see it. But that it was really sad. But then he talks about, like, well, if I never went to track down the pig, there would be a chance in my mind that he'd still be alive versus now, you know for sure that it's dead. You know, and then he kind of posits that, like, or suggests that, you know, maybe keeping the idea that it could be alive would have been better than knowing that it's died. So, like, it just, in contrast to the earlier speech he makes, it just stands as, like, okay, I'm willing to believe maybe something that isn't real versus only accepting what's real and what's fleeting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, even though it was a, you know, really unfortunate situation and the pig died and it's really sad, he kind of seems to come out of it with a better perspective on life.
Yeah.
He's kind of realizes the value in believing and in the intangible things, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was reading some stuff about this afterwards, and it does seem like that is the theme of, like, how different people deal with grief and how they, like, confront loss, and that, like, Cage couldn't confront it, you know, like he didn't want to accept it, mm-hmm. you know, like what he said about the pig, like, oh, if I didn't know, it was still alive in my mind. It's like, even though that's not what's real. Mm-hmm. His wife, I feel like he gets the cassette earlier in the movie and like mm-hmm. actively doesn't listen to it. And it's not until the end, he's finally like, after the pig has died, it's like he's kind of come full circle. And he's like, okay, I can accept this. I can listen to this. Because if he would have listened to it in his old mindset, he would have had to confront the fact mm-hmm. that like, she's gone. I'm living here by myself in a hut. And he's just kind of avoiding that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the way other characters do it, where it's like, Amir is, he calls his mom dead. He says that like, oh, she committed suicide. She's dead. Mm-hmm. And we find out later she's being kept alive on like a deathbed in the house with his dad. And like Amir, like he just understands that like, well, the mom as I knew her is dead. And he has accepted that even though she is technically alive yeah. and everything. Whereas his dad is desperately using his money and everything to try to keep her alive mm-hmm. and everything, even though she's gone. And like, so he can't deal with it. And he's just desperately trying to hang on to it.
Yeah.
Amir's accepted it and just says she's dead. So it's kind of these three different characters all dealing with loss in completely different
right.
ways, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. Yeah. And I think ultimately that's what the movie is about, because, you know, to use the John Wick comparison, like that is a full on just like pure revenge movie, right? Mm-hmm. This wasn't so much a revenge movie, because he's not getting revenge on the tweakers or, you know, the people that stole his pig. This is more like an adventure in, you know, dealing with grief, confronting it, and kind of finding a way to manage it, you know,
and to come to terms with what's happened.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a very, very sad movie.
It is sad.
Like at the end, it's just like he's just kind of sitting there listening to his wife singing a Springsteen song, and mm-hmm. it's just like he lost his pig, he lost his wife, mm-hmm. and now it's just like, but he has the part where he kind of washes his hands in the river and just kind of he comes to terms with it, and he tells Amir like, well, you know, I'll see you next Thursday, mm-hmm. you know, we'll keep our arrangement going. And so like in a way, I do feel like the end is like him. It's like healthy for his character to like move on. It's kind of like, okay, well, now let's just accept that. And, you know, it's not what I wanted, but, you know, you have to move on.
Right, right. And you don't know exactly what's going to happen to him now. Like, you don't know if he's going to just continue living in the forest by himself.
Get a new pig. Like, yeah. You don't know.
Because he told Amir, like, he didn't need the pig for finding truffles. He was just his friend.
Yeah, yeah. He said it was like you could just look at the trees and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at one point he goes back to the old house where he lived with his wife, and you can just tell he's a very kind of reflective character to a point, mm-hmm. Unless it's something he doesn't want to think about, and then he shuts it out,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful movie, I think.
It is really beautiful, and I love, too, like, while it isn't an action movie, like we said, it isn't a revenge movie, it does have that kind of formula, you know what I mean? So it sets that kind of familiar setup, but instead of, like, dealing with, like, just violence and you know, purely just a singular goal of recovering something or getting revenge or whatever, it's more of a journey of kind of acceptance and everything. It is a beautiful movie. It really is.
Yeah, and you totally think it's building towards Darius, the dad, being this like ultimate mm-hmm. villain, because like several characters say stuff like, oh, he's not someone you want to be angry with you. And like when you first see him at the house and he's on the balcony waiting for him, like you expect this to be the big, you know, finale, is like he gets some sort of revenge on him, or mm-hmm. is he cooking some poison thing or something? But no, he cooks this thing that kind of makes him think back to a different part of his life, and you kind of feel sorry for this guy that you think is going to be this, like, he does seem like a huge asshole in the movie,
right.
But like he's also been kind of broken by what happened to him in the past.
Yeah, what's happened to his wife. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't you know, it doesn't wield a heavy hand with him. He's obviously an asshole. He obviously like just treats everything like just kind of a business, like when he's telling Rob to just get a new pig.
Yeah, I'll give you $25,000. Yeah. How much is it going to take? 20 million? What do you want? Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I wonder is, like, at that point, was the pig still alive? You know, if it wasn't, then why was it?
I think he knew it was dead.
Then why would he offer him money? You know,
I think
I mean?
To just get out of his hair. Yeah. I think that was it. Like, mm-hmm. he probably didn't even want to tell him that it was dead. Just be like, here, go get a new pig. Just leave me alone, you know?
Yeah, well, it's really shitty that they would go through the trouble of planning this elaborate heist for the pig and then just not give a shit about the pig and be so rough with it that it would die.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really fucking lame.
The actual, like, stealing of the pig at the beginning is, like, the way it's shot is really effective. Like, mm-hmm. he just kind of, I think he wakes up and you hear them coming in the front of his, like, hut or trailer mm-hmm. or whatever it is, and, like, you could tell there's a shot or something. He gets kind of like spun around, but like just the way it's shot is very just like, I would imagine if you were woken up with like a home invasion type thing,
terrifying.
It's just like, what the fuck's going on? You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Especially since like he's out in such a remote part of the woods. Mm-hmm. Like it shows it at one point, like he's really out there. It's not like he's on the, like a road that like he's just like the only house on the road. Like, no, he's in the woods.
Yeah.
So if you're going to find his place, you have to know exactly where it is. So for him to be woken at night with like car lights and stuff, it must be terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, this was written and directed by Michael Sarnowski. This was his debut. And I don't know anything about him, but if this is his debut, mm-hmm. like he's on my radar.
Promising,
like, I
want to see
what he does next. Because like, I liked it while I watched it, but now talking about it too, it's just like, oh man, that was really, really mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, it was very, very entertaining and moving.
Yeah. I think we rented it on Amazon Prime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this came out like a month or so ago only in theaters, but you can rent it on Amazon Prime now. I think it's other places like Vudu or something as well.
This is, you know, we talked about all the movies that Cage has done. And this is the highest rated movies that he's done on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's saying something, because yeah. he's made a lot of genuinely good movies.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, it was like 97% or something nuts.
Moonstruck and Face Off, I think, were follow-ups to that. Oh, sorry about that.
I never saw Moonstruck.
I wanted to see it. I heard good things about it. Cher, yeah.
Right. Did she get an Oscar for that? I feel like she might have, yeah. But I don't know anything about it. Yeah, so, I mean, if you can't tell, enthusiastic thumbs up from us here. Mm-hmm. Very... It's nice to be surprised by a movie where it's yeah. like, I really thought it was going to be one thing, where it's like kind of like a John Wick thing. And it's just, it wound up being something unlike anything I'd seen before, I think.
Yeah, I had high expectations going in because I heard that it was a really good showcase of Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And yeah, it lived up to my expectations for sure.
Awesome. Well, check it out if you haven't. I don't know why you listen to this if you have seen it, because we just spoiled it for you. But even if that's the case, check it out for an excellent Nick Cage performance. And I want to give a extra special shout out to our patrons.
Thank you.
Patreon.com/paintingthestream gets you ad-free episodes.
Wow.
Early access to episodes.
Wow.
Access to the Discord.
Wow.
And for you, written for you by Bonk herself, it is a Bonk-oo. Bonk, do we have anyone this week?
We sure do, Daniel.
Who do we have?
This week, we are honoring our friend Jesse.
Jesse, thank you.
Jesse, if you're out there, if you're listening, thank you. This Bonk-oo is for you. Given the weather, I knew Jesse would not show. He hated the rain.
Oh, well, Jesse, you'd hate it in Connecticut right mm-hmm. now. But thank you so much for your patronage and for all of our patrons there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Remember, you can do a year at 15% off if you wish to do
that's
it that way.
That's a lot of percent.
It's 15 of them. 15 individual percents off. Thanks to Tom Mondo for the theme song.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks to all you. Thanks to Bonk. Thanks to these dogs for being good this whole time.
Good boys.
We will see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.